Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, welcome back, folks. It looks like yesterday was the first day of autumn or fall, but I don't know where you're at, but where I'm at here in Southern California, it feels like midsummer. But welcome back. I'm here with my co-host, Johnny Hernandez. Johnny, how's it going on your end of the world?
My life is awesome, as always, Daniel. I'm actually in the Midwest today, where it is nice and cool, not cold, rainy and cloudy, so it's the perfect day to be on the radio and to be knocking out administrative stuff, right?
There you go. Well, today, folks, we are talking about the Pope in America. Everybody's talking about this Pope, and Johnny and I just got through doing a 15 weeks on a show on an article that we found in the Harvard Business Review by Gary Hamel that was called The 15 Diseases of Leadership According to Pope Francis. And so we really just want to open the conversation to any of you that might be listening in right now who might want to weigh in on just this incredible visit. I was telling Johnny the other day that I was absolutely amazed at how the energy was felt through the television, and as you know, when you have a powerful person. So we're just going to jump right in. If you want to give us a call and weigh in on whatever it may be as it pertains to the Pope's visit or his leadership, call 347-677-1965. We'd love to hear from you. Johnny, what's your take on this whole thing? I know you watched some of the Pope's visit here to Washington, D.C., and I know you're Catholic. How does that feel from your end?
You know, it's he is hands down one of the coolest cats in the world. And, I mean, I don't care what religious background or what religion you follow. His messages, I was actually, and I won't share his name because I haven't asked him, but I had breakfast and coffee with CEO of a Fortune 50 company this last week. And we were talking about the Pope, his leadership style, and the way in which he engages. And what I think so just mesmerizing about it is he speaks, it's almost like in parables, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like no matter what case you have or the frustration, let me give an example. You know, they talked about would the Pope be talking about, and I want to run the parallels between this and leadership, small company, big company, mid-sized company. But they talk about, you know, well, when the Pope goes to the prisons, the detention centers, will he likely talk about abandoning the death penalty? And the message was, well, knowing Pope Francis, he likely won't talk specifically to the death penalty, but what he will likely speak to is respect for life. You know, and you think about the way in which he articulates and shares his message. He never does it in a way intentionally to offend anyone. But what he does do is he shares it in a way that makes you stop for a moment, reflect, and try to take it in full transparency in the total context of the message. And I was watching again last night. I've recorded everything, his entire visit, everything I can keep up to, and it'll probably take me a week and a half to to watch it all. But you said it. It's just the energy. I talked to my mom last night. She says, I'm just amazed that a man his age is just
78.
As active as he is. Yeah. On airplanes, he's in the Fiat, you know, he's giving the Secret Service a run for their money because he wants to unroll the windows in the Fiat and wave, but they're saying, you got to keep the windows up. He's with President Obama in the White House. I mean, he just goes. I mean, I think about me when I used to fly in airplanes every week and, you know, shake hands, kiss babies, and work my tail off. I ain't got nothing on Pope Francis. I mean, he's absolutely fascinating. And I think it's been an inspiration, I think, not just to the United States. I think it's been an inspiration to the world. I think he carries a really solid message. And, you know, I'd taken a lot of notes over the last couple of days. And I was running parallels with what I think of strong leaders or weak leaders who aspire to be strong. And if you take into consideration, Dan, let's use some examples. So Pope Francis was giving rides to children in the Popemobile.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Talk about engaging with, you know, the line level of those who love him most. I mean, the children who come up right to him when he's speaking, giving his speeches, not only does he hold them close to him, he allows them to kiss their cross and actually even sit, you know, in his big, beautiful monster chair that sits behind him when he's giving his speeches. I mean, there's just the level of humility with this man, I think in my mind, is probably the most inspirational characteristic he has. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, from where I sit, I'm in awe at just the simplicity of how he insists to live his life. And, I mean, you were sharing a story with me this morning that I hadn't heard about this and some of our some political heavy hitters to go have to go hang out with the homeless. I mean, isn't that what you were telling me earlier?
Yeah, well, he was invited to have lunch with the Washington, D.C. elite, and he chose to hang out with the homeless and to be with them and to allow. As a matter of fact, I could see the look on the Secret Service that were protecting him. He actually walked through a room with just two service people around him, and everybody was grabbing him and wanting to touch him. And, of course, he was just loving it. I didn't, by the look on the face of the Secret Service, I didn't see that to be true. You know, they were really stressing out about the whole thing. But, yeah, you know, the thing I like about this football, I listened to a little bit of his speech out in front of Capitol Hill. And you know what I loved about the end when he was talking about prayer and he was talking about, you know, blessings, he said very humbly, pray for me. And if this is what the commentator was saying, this is him off cuff, off the record. He's just speaking as a man. He said, and if you don't believe in prayer, would you please send me some good vibes? Send me some good energy. So he doesn't.
How cool is that?
He didn't, you know, not include people because they didn't believe what he believes. He just said, well, if you don't believe in prayer, it's okay. Now, one of the things that got me a little bit upset about that whole transaction or that whole speech, Johnny, I think I shared this with you a little bit, is that I don't know how in today's day and age that you have translators that can't translate verbatim what someone is saying. But they had a translator that just could not keep up and or accurately deliver what the Pope was saying. And he was so heartful in his message and what he was delivering. I think that it was lost in translation, which is really sad. You know, I don't know how you feel about that kind of thing going on. And maybe we shouldn't worry about it too much. It just that to me, I know that on Facebook there was quite a bit of talk about the level of disrespect to the Pope, that we wouldn't have someone there in this day and time. A freaking computer would have done a better job, Dragon. You know?
Well, I think I haven't had the chance, and you did share it with me earlier, and I haven't had the chance to watch it yet, and so I'm actually anxious to see that this evening, because this is one space, you know, and it's unfortunate that, you know, and of course there's all the various dialects, but the bottom line is you know where the Pope is from. And so you think you'd get that one probably pretty accurate, you know, and it's not like this thing just got scheduled last week either, right? You just have
to find the first available.
But I think the other part of that is, one, I would not want to be the individual that had to translate, because the one thing that you cannot translate is what you said, is there is something
emotion
about this Pope. It goes well beyond words, and it's just that sense. It's it's that energy, man. I mean, there is something very unique about this man, and regardless of what your religious background is, you can't deny that he's sure making a mark, and he's just getting started. He's not like on his fourth year of his second term. He's just getting started, and you know,
right.
I'd like to use some examples again. And as we get further show, I mean, hopefully we get some folks calling in to join this dialogue, but I'd like to use some examples in the traditionalist. And I think I'd like to say my own mother is, you know, a traditional Catholic. I mean, she's in her mid-70s, an amazing woman. But they grow up, you know, for 70-plus, 80-plus, et cetera, years of believing one one specific way in which the Catholic Church is, call it managed, led. But when you hear about things like he says, well, we're going to make the annulment process more efficient, and so it can get to done quicker, right? And things like abortion, yes, it is a forgivable sin. We're all humans. You make statements like, well, are you for gays? Are you against gay? All that. And he says, it's not for me to judge. And when you take into consideration all the consistencies in the way that he communicates, you can't help but eliminate. It's not. This isn't political jargon, right? This isn't being politically correct. I mean, Pope Francis is as genuine as genuine comes, and his message is just so seamless and consistent, and no matter what the topic is, he discusses. Now, what I did find interesting was the priest in my local church had made a comment. He said, you know, all of the dialogue going on and the things that you see in the news and the changes that are going to be coming, you know, even, you know, women, you know, he's openly said, well, women will not be priests. He said, I do not believe that, you know, well, we're not going to give approvals for women to be priests. He says, however, let's be very clear. Women need to have a much, much, much larger role in the church than they do today, period. We're not even going to debate that. Now, all of these things right now are very strong beliefs of the Pope. People still have to take this, and they have to operationalize these things. And I think when that starts to happen, then you're going to see a sea change movement, right? Then all of a sudden, you're starting to go back in the church that we've known, you know, you think of Catholicism, that, you know, people say, well, it's kind of stoic, it's slow-moving, the music is slow and, you know, kind of legacy type as opposed to the peppy, which isn't true in all Catholic churches. I'll tell you, the Church of California I go to is absolutely the opposite. It's an absolute blast. But I think as you see things like that happen, you're going to see the attraction for even Catholicism even improve. But all that aside, what I'm really seeing here is forget the fact that, you know, it's a Catholic Pope and this has anything to do with spirituality and religion. This man, hands down, is one of the greatest leaders of all time. He has an entire world following him, literally, virtually overnight.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's put it in perspective, folks. He's the spiritual leader of 1.2 billion Catholics worldwide. How many leaders do we have in any situation that are leading that many people? They're not, and across so many different countries. There's not. There's not anyone else that does that.
It is the largest business. It's the largest, if you talk in terms of company, the Catholic Church is the largest company in the world.
Right. And I think that's where the conversation, when we talk about spirituality and leadership, his willingness, think about this from a corporate perspective or a management perspective. How many of you that are listening right now that are part of some sort of management structure or a CEO or C-suite level person has ever genuinely reached down to speak to your subordinates? And I'm not talking about your management people. I'm talking about people who are out there doing the work. You know, the Pope goes a little bit further and not only just talks to people, he goes down to the very bottom. And I love what he said about the homeless. He said, we got to quit calling them homeless.
Yeah.
He goes, because the fact that we're calling them homeless creates more homelessness. To the church, they're clients. They're our clients. And, you know, I had never heard a Pope talk like that. And so when I look at the management part of it, I'm trying to make this kind of bring it home into the business spirituality context. How many of you have ever done that? Now, Johnny, back when I was managing people, and I don't know where it came from or why I decided to do this. I made a decision. I, at the time, had, I think, close to 200 employees. Decided to sit down and speak to every single employee for 10 minutes, 15 minutes max. My only question was, tell me who you are and what are your aspirations. That was it. I learned so much about the people that were working for me and how to best serve them as a manager than I ever could have possibly done. And they were floored because everyone thought as they came in they were going to get fired. But that just goes to, it just goes to show that we don't do this enough. And we should, I mean, really, when you think about, I would love to hear Gary Hamel or someone at the Harvard Business Review instead of writing a, you know, an article, which was fabulous, by the way, the 15 diseases of leadership according to Pope Francis, I'd love to see something that was more like the 15 positive traits of leadership according to Pope Francis, because we focus so much on the negative. Connect with your people. Don't be superior to them. You know, meet them where they're at. I mean, these are all powerful things that I think the world is finding themselves in and leaning toward. And here's a guy, again, I want to repeat that, that is a spiritual leader of 1.2 billion Catholics who had no bones about challenging Congress today and asking them to basically, what he said was, heal the world, heal the open wounds. You are the leader of the free world right now. That may change if we keep doing what we're doing, but you are the leader of the free world. Act like it. And I don't know what this stuff was about, and I don't even know if it's even real, but I saw that Boehner was crying about something, which blew my mind, you know, behind the Pope. We have to, that's another show. But anyway, that there's so much the Pope did right, and I really want to see people focus on what he's doing right, not what he thinks is wrong with the world, because he didn't see the world that way. We interpret it that way. He doesn't see the world that way. He looks at the benefit. He looks at the things that he feels can be right about the world and encourages the things that are right about the world, which is really the same thing that a major leader of a major corporation or a business or an entrepreneur should look at their business, right?
You know, it's fascinating because the more you talk about this, and you're right, when you take the time to genuinely, we've talked about this before, and I've got a couple perspectives. And if you were to say again, and I keep wanting to talk parallels here, as a leader, and I don't care whether you're a homemaker, you're a CEO, you're a CFO, or whether you're a line-level employee, we all lead in some way, shape, or form. But I want you to, for a moment, try and picture you and the tasks and the responsibilities that you have in your life, how you behave, which you may be spot on. You should be the one probably giving this show in some cases. But if you're not, I want to give you some more examples. So recently it was announced that Pope Francis, there's the Papal Train, which is a really cool train. And it actually goes directly from through Rome, from the Vatican up to what they call the Papal Estate. Big, you know, of course, you can imagine voluptuous trees, beautiful green. To me, it's just, you know, heaven on earth there in Italy. And he recently said no more. This is no longer a Papal Train. One day a week this has been being open for the public. Take the train that's on there, the nice little antique one, take it off, put a regular train on there. Oh, and by the way, the Papal Estate is now open to the public 7 days a week, all year long. This is no longer about elitism. This is exactly what it's like. And it's you know, the big, beautiful, flowing red robes, the red slippers. He's abandoned for the white corset and just, you know, in regular street shoes. You know, he gave up the papal residence for a little two-room apartment. You know, he eats lunch in the lunchroom with those who serve the food, as well as, you know, the church's clients that they bring in. I mean, when you stop and put that in perspective and you say, okay, now if I'm a leader in any organization, what's he really doing there, right? He's shaking all the fancy duds of the big, beautiful, palatial office and all the stuffiness of, you know, what people perceive, because this isn't necessarily the norm any longer, but the stuffiness of you know, the executive look, the executive feel, and it's actually playing at the level of those they serve, right? We've always said the wisdom resides with those closest to the customer, the client. And he's committed to leading by example, role modeling, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for some of those who serve the Pope, the priests, the bishops, et cetera, because he's doing things that haven't been, I don't want to say have never been done before, but broadly speaking, when you look at everything he's doing, no one's ever done what he's doing. He's, you know, when he washed the feet of not just those in the detention center, but there was two women. Oh, my gosh. Actually, it's only supposed to be men, and now it's women. He's like, I'm sorry, you don't get it, right? And the intent of this is we serve anyone. And so from a leadership standpoint, the more I watch the Pope, the more I admire him as a businessman, because he's truly, I mean, he's cracking the code. And I would also challenge this. Not only is he the leader of the Catholic Church, I would submit to you that he couldn't have got things done between Cuba and the United States and open up those channels again. Folks from various other backgrounds didn't perceive him as not only significantly relevant, with a high level of respect and in some way, shape, or form look to him as their leader as well. So his audience is the largest audience any leader in the world. So I think if we can learn from anyone, it certainly would be our Pope.
Well, I think he's definitely brought the world together. I really feel that he's brought the world together in such a beautiful way that transcends religion, ethnicity, anything. And I think that if we look at the example that he has put forth as a leader, in spite of his deep beliefs in his faith, he has clearly poised himself as a citizen of the world.
Yes.
And as clearly. A citizen of the world, encouraging others to do the same. Now, mind you, just like any other great leader, the thing I appreciate about him is that the thing he's got convictions about, he's got convictions about. He's got no bones about it. He's got no
right.
bones about it. But in those areas where it doesn't matter, really, like the train thing you just talked about, really, he looks at it and goes, come on. If we're going to fight any battles, let's make sure they're the right ones. Not this.
Right.
This. Do I have a train, or do I wear red slippers, or do? You know, I mean, there's still. I'm amazed if you go to CNN right now, what they're most talking about besides his visit is the fiat.
Right.
They can't get over it because probably every one of them took a car service to work. But I think that's beautiful.
But you know what else is interesting, though, is the same conversation I was telling you about earlier that I had to be in the week is this CEO is telling me about his mother, who sounded like an absolutely amazing human being. And she was making the statement that there is no such thing as a coincidence, that your higher power, and we'll say for the sake of this dialogue, puts certain people and certain things and occurrences in front of us at very specific times in our life for a reason. I believe this is no different. Daniel, you and I talk about the millennials all the time. I don't want to make this an elitist thing about millennials, because we're not millennials by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just barely out of that age group, although you're much further along than I am. But I would share that the millennials today, it's no more ripening for the take than it is now, because the generations that are upon us and that are even being born today, we talk frequently about, it's no longer about, are they going to settle into the status quo within these companies? It's not.
Mm-hmm.
Are these companies going to change and evolve and create environments, foster environments that these young people can be successful in? Make no mistake. This Pope is speaking the language of the millennials. He's not saying, Andy, bar the doors, there's no rules, so forth and so on. What he's doing is, like you said, there's certain things he's very convicted about. He hasn't changed the rules of the Catholic Church. Matter of fact, what he's doing, he's making it real. He's taking it from, you know, difficult to understand and to translate into real-world language. And that language is resonating with the young people of today. And this is just the beginning. I would tell you right now that this is a movement. Our world is going to continue to be shaped by leaders like the Pope, and it's going to be shaped because there's young leaders out there, my children, your children, Daniel, that admire the Pope, that actually, you know, we talked about, you know, he is the first religious leader on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. How
really?
Cool is that? Yep, yep, the first religious leader. He got Man of the Year from Time magazine. I mean, it goes on and on. So I believe that it's exactly right. This isn't a coincidence. He's coming at a certain time in our world's history. And those who are out there are going to shape the world for the future. So much of that is going to come from the energy that I believe in partially that he'll be delivering. So this is just a cool thing. I mean, it's just an amazing thing to be part of. And all the books that will be written about it, so forth and so on. I mean, I just feel honored to even be part of it. Because it's like the forest through the trees. I don't think until well, many years down the road will we ever realize how amazing this time in our life actually is.
Oh, and then we got to be a part of it. Yep.
Right on.
And then we got to be a part of it. So, folks, we're running out of time today. I mean, it's so when we have, you know, Johnny and I, we get passionate about topics like this, and then the time flies by. You know, we got a couple of minutes. If you want to jump on, 347-677-1965. That's 347-677-1965. I mean, feel free to jump in. I mean, this is a very important topic today. We both felt compelled that we wanted to talk about it. And I want to quote Pope Francis as he delivered his message to Congress today. He said, in a word, if we want security, let us give security. If we want life, let us give life. And if we want opportunities, then let us provide those opportunities. And taking a page off of the prayer of St. Francis. These are words from someone called him simple on CNN, and I thought that was the wrong word. He's a very complex man that takes things that are complex and delivers simple messages. And you're right, he almost in parables, because
right.
that's how we understand them. So I want to encourage you to think about your business, your life, your corporation, your management style. Even if you don't believe in who the Pope is, do yourself a favor and check into CNN or wherever it is that's being aired. Spend some time watching his mannerisms, the way he really looks at people and smiles. The guy's smiling all the time. And when he's smiling, you can tell it's a genuine smile. It's not a fake smile. It's not a, let me do my hand, it's a parade type thing. He genuinely enjoys what he's doing. And I think that charges him up, that charges him up. So, Johnny, we're about to close. Anything in closing?
No, I think it's been, this has been eventful. I'm anxious to see what else happens as the Pope progresses. And by all means, if you haven't read the article, 15 Diseases of According to Pope Francis, please jump on Twitter, Facebook, pull it off of one of Dan's and my site. And if you haven't had the opportunity, make the time, record it on DVR or something, and just spend some time just observing, like Daniel commented. In the meantime, have yourself an awesome week, gang, and thanks for joining us.
You too. Take care.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.